We got our sound. Did you start? Oh, wait. Did you start? Oh, you started. Okay, good.
Ready?
All right, beautiful.
Test.
Welcome to Security Guy Radio at Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
Adam Laub from StealthBits Technologies.
And what does StealthBits do?
We are a data security software company specializing in the management and security of unstructured data.
What does unstructured data mean?
Unstructured data is your human-generated data in the form of documents, spreadsheets, presentations that you throw out onto network file shares on Windows file servers, NAS devices,
flash
cloud
drives,
storage,
all over the place.
All over the place.
Is this a big problem in corporate America?
It's a huge problem. It represents 80% of all the data within any
80%?
Organization.
80%. Yeah. Nice
so
number.
Share drives and all that stuff is really, it's a nice theory, but nobody does it.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, people just push data out there onto a shared drive and assume that it is secure and that only the right people have access to that data when it is actually the exact opposite.
I worked at the studios and we had productions that traveled all around the country or the world with their laptops. Yeah. And that is individual data created locally. And where does it go after that? Nobody knew.
Right.
It was all over the place. Yeah,
exactly. And it, even though it's the most amount of data, represents a vast majority of it, it's the least understood in any organization.
So how does your product protect all that unstructured data?
So the first thing we do is aim to understand where it exists to begin with, and then understand at a high level who has access to that data and how. The first thing we're looking for is a condition called open access. What we don't want to find is a scenario where everyone in the organization has access to the data. There's very few scenarios where that should actually be the case. You could think
where it should be the case, but it is a lot of times.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we find it is a pervasive problem in the organization. What you'll find is that in those locations, you're often going to find sensitive data as well. So that's the next piece of the equation. We found the open access. Now where do we focus our efforts on shutting down that open access first? That comes down to prioritizing your efforts around where the sensitive data exists and then doing a variety of other things, such as monitoring the activity, figuring out who put the data there, who's interacting with it, who owns the data, so that we can put a governance process on top of it to essentially lock it down and keep it locked down ongoing.
Now, is this like its own platform? Is it an agent? Does it integrate with group policies? How does it work?
All of the above. So,
okay.
So it uses a variety of different architectural approaches to actually get the information.
Okay.
Our particular solution uses a agentless led approach. So we're going to go get the vast majority of the data without having to deploy an agent. Where we use agents is when we want to monitor that activity. And that's a really critical piece of the equation for this problem, because if you're going to rely on native logging to try to ascertain who's accessing the data, you're going to really run into a variety of challenges that are insurmountable in most organizations.
So I'm thinking about my hard drive right now, and it hurts my head. I am very sloppy with my files.
Right.
I used to be meticulous. Now I'm like, everything's on the desktop. Literally.
Yeah.
I have no idea where anything is. And trying to do a search, since I don't like the indexing to slow me down, I go nuts, right? So if I take my computer and say, let's pretend that's a corporation, and all those folders are some division in a corporation, how do you get a handle on this to even start doing this? It's just got to be daunting. Where do you start?
Well, you mentioned a really good point. You know, you got your files all over the place, and probably the vast majority of those files you don't access anymore. Probably don't even need.
Probably.
Forgot.
Right. Yeah.
So one of the things that you can do to make this whole program a lot easier to deal with is actually start to remove some of the data from the equation. You can do this via monitoring the activity. You can look at metadata around the files themselves and say, hey, this file was created 10 years ago. The last modified date was 8 years ago. Probably don't need this. Maybe you don't feel comfortable deleting it. That's fine. You have options like moving it off to cold storage, not maintaining it on your really expensive NAS device that just exponentially grows year after year. And every file equals risk. Who knows if that file from 8 years ago actually has something good in
it?
Well,
that's a great point.
Yeah,
I still have files from a program, neither one of you going to know this. It was called Volkswriter. Okay. All right? It was before Word. And that's how you wrote your word processing programs. This is from the 80s, mm-hmm. right? And any file I created since 1984 when I got my two floppy disks, I have those files.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have terabytes with the useless data.
Right.
But you know, someday I might need it for something. I don't know. So is it a software?
Yeah, it's software.
So does it go out and do what you just did and say, let me go on your network. Here's all these files that are older than 5 years old. Let's identify them, and now you, Mr. Administrator, tell me what you want to do with them.
Yeah.
Is that the first place you start?
Precisely.
All right, that's brilliant. Okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot of options, too. You could say, all right, I want to stage this removal process. First thing I'm going to do is strip all the permissions off the files so nobody can access them.
Oh, all right.
And then if somebody wants that access, you can route it through your help desk, or you can, through our process, actually re-enable the access to
those
files.
Oh, you strip the permissions using the... administrative permissions,
right.
Policies. Okay, yeah.
Right.
So you just make it so only administrators have access and users don't have access to the data anymore, and you can have a level of comfort that after a certain number of months or weeks, whatever you want to do.
So speaking about data, is all data created equally? Does your software have the ability to kind of identify sensitive data, passwords, login credentials, and scrape? Or how do you prioritize which file is more riskier than another?
Great question. And yes, not all data is created equal. If I have a file that has credit card information in it mm-hmm. versus a file that's talking about some product I released 10 years ago, I'm obviously going to want to focus on the remediation of that credit card data first. And so we have built-in sensitive data discovery capabilities that allow us to go out and via dozens of out-of-the-box criteria sets that we provide, go out and find social security numbers, credit card information, health information that would be, perhaps applicable to a compliance regulation like HIPAA, so on
right.
and so forth. And we basically categorize and prioritize our efforts based upon the sensitivity of the data we find. If we find a text file that has password information inside of it,
that's
first
what I
on
do.
The list,
that's
right?
What I do.
Yeah.
Don't hack me, but that's what I do.
So,
but I don't have the same password for everything. I'd mix them all up, right?
Right.
So I can't remember everything.
Right.
I got to have some little backup somewhere that I know about.
Right.
Now, does this software? And I'm not as technical, obviously. Does it basically? Do you have to index my directory first, all my files? Do you have to index them, or does your software do something higher tech than that?
Well, the first thing we do is actually go out and we look at all the files, and then we have what's called a differential scan. So as we after we run the first scan, every scan afterwards is going to be very short because we're only going to look at files that have been added or modified since the last time
it's kind of like indexing but higher tech.
Exactly.
Okay,
so that way we don't have to do full scans of everything all the time. The first scan takes a little while, obviously, as you have to go up, open, and investigate every single file, but after that
you do open them all. Interesting.
Yeah, you open them up and you look through the contents for all the different criteria. And even think about a chemical company, for instance. They have formulas that are specific to their organization that you never could build an out-of-the-box criteria set for. We're going to build those into the equation, too, and make sure that we find all that information.
Now, I'm a medium-sized company, and I have a couple hundred employees and several terabytes of data. Maybe got a petabyte. I don't know.
Yep.
How long is it going to take you to get in there and do a scan and let me know what I have?
Well, the initial, as I was describing, the first thing we want to do is go out and just discover where this stuff exists. That's a very short process for us to go out. It's going to, again, we don't need to push any software to the systems themselves. We're going to discover the environment via a variety of different mechanisms. We can pull an inventory of all the systems that Active Directory knows about, or we can do an IP sweep. We can pull from a CMDB, whatever you want. And then the first condition we're looking for, as mentioned too, is that open share condition. So all we got to do is find all the systems, then see, do we have any shares on them and are they open? So getting that really big vulnerability identified and remediated actually is a very quick exercise.
Now, what about a bad employee like me who has 20, 30 hard drives sitting around on my desk? I do, literally, because I'm too cheap to buy a giant one, and I just kept buying little ones.
Right.
And I'm not online with that stuff.
Right.
Do you have to go around physically then and do a secondary kind of a...
So the way we approach that in particular is we have a basically a mechanism to keep trying until those things come online.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
All right.
So the scan will complete for everything else that is active on the network, but we're going to go keep trying as laptops, come on the network, that type of stuff. To as soon as they do come on, we'll get the information and then
that's brilliant. All right.
Back out.
Now, so. I'm asking too many questions. Go ahead, jump in.
Nope, go ahead.
But this is fascinating. Yeah. I keep asking. All right. So I'm looking at this from a physical security guy.
Okay.
And can we use this as an administrator for security reasons? In other words, hey, this Chuck guy keeps producing all these files over here, keeps all these records. He's my number one producer, but he works in the shipping department. What's going on?
Yeah.
Now, there's maybe some kind of indicator of his activity that's not legitimate based on that. So is there analytics for that?
Absolutely. So we employ, like many vendors do these days, or claim to at least, user and entity behavior analytics capabilities.
Okay.
So the thing that we're looking for in particular as it pertains to this subject is we're looking at all the file access events themselves via our own monitoring agents. And we're also looking at all the authentication activity occurring in the environment as well.
Oh,
so
good
that
point.
We can actually see what systems the users connect to, and when they're there, what types of operations do they perform against the data that exists on those systems. So basically, we're building a behavioral profile based upon those two primary factors, and then we could say, hey, you know, John has never accessed this system before. He only accesses these three systems on a daily basis. Now he just accessed something, and that system has sensitive data on it, and he accessed these files. When you combine multiple layers of context into the equation, you can produce a much higher quality alert or risk score around that type of threat.
So as a security guy, what I'd come to you, let's say we hired you, I'd want you to say, okay, Adam, the first thing I want to know is, as you're going through here, I want you to build a
profile
for me that tells me who's my number one employee that accesses the most amount of files in different locations around here. Because that might indicate to me this guy is an internal espionage guy.
Right.
Can we find things like that
Absolutely.
On the initial scan?
Yeah.
Oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah. So what we actually
do
right out of the
mind?
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah. What we do right out of the box is we identify those types of users that have pervasive access across the organization and use that access in a pervasive way as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a very common type of use case that customers actually do want to identify.
So I really look at this as more of a, not more of, but to me it's a security application in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
For
you
it's file management, which is efficiency. Yep. For me it's like, oh dude, I'm all over this for investigations.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, it's absolutely about security. I mean, that is our primary focus. Is the reason we want to lock this stuff down is to mitigate the risk that an organization has in terms of data breach scenario, right?
Data loss prevention.
Yeah. Well, think about it, too. The reason why many data loss prevention programs aren't quite as effective as they could be is there's really three components to DLP. You've got data in motion, you've got endpoint protection, you got data at rest. Well, the first two are heavily utilized by most organizations. The last one isn't. They don't know where the sensitive data that already exists in their organization resides, and they haven't been able to classify
those
files.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
The desktop
guy's
not doing his job. I don't know what's going on there.
It's agent-based. It's cumbersome. Yeah. It takes a lot of time. So if we can go out, solve that problem, classify the files so that when they do try to leave the organization through the desktop, through email, et cetera, they actually get picked up, making your DLP program more effective. It's not that DLP is not capable. It's that I think, as with many things, they haven't been resourced properly. Some of the steps that need to be implemented haven't been achieved by many.
So I'm a bad employee, and I'm going to leave, and I know I'm going to leave, but you don't know I'm going to leave.
Yep.
I'm Snowden, let's say.
Yep.
And I'm going to take my files with me. Once you get in here and take a inventory, for lack of a better term, you know where files are, where they reside. Are you able to see, wait a minute, Chuck's computer just copied a terabyte. And the files are still there. He didn't delete them. I'm sure you could find a deletion.
Right.
But can you find something subtle like there's a copy that was made to an external drive?
Right.
And then 2 days later, it disappeared with all your files.
Right. I would be looking at that as a behavioral shift. Right.
Okay.
So I would know that you access this data all the time, but I would also know that you don't perform massive modifies, or which would come through as a copy, essentially,
right,
in the system, to that number of files in any single fell swoop.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be raised as, you know, that type of scenario very, very easily based upon the fact that you don't perform massive copies.
This is one of my favorite products.
Yeah.
We're
going to
have 50 interviews when we're done, and this is one of my favorites. It's so...
You're going to have to try it out.
I am. It's so... I don't want to make it sound bad by saying simple, but it's a brilliant, simple concept that I just would have assumed people were doing. They were keeping track of their files at rest. I would assume that was happening. It's not, and you got a solution. It's great.
I think it's pragmatic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to credentials and data. Doesn't matter how the attacker got in. It could be through a phish. It could be through something even more sophisticated. At the end of the day, they're after credentials and data, and that's what we focus on.
And if you protect the data, you're defeating the phishing part.
Yep.
50% at least, you know.
Yeah, we've got to make it more difficult for these attackers in achieving a least privilege access model, enforcing security policy, detecting behavioral shifts. Those types of things will make a big difference.
Adam, thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Give us your website.
www.stealthbits.com.
Stealth bits, not bytes.
Bits.
And spell it?
STEALTHBITS.
Oh, BITS. I put the Y in there. I'm an idiot. Adam, thanks a lot for coming on Scooter Guy Radio.
Appreciate it.
Bites. Thank you.
Thanks.